If you want to keep that passage of Scripture open, because I will be referring to it, that would be helpful in Jude. Right before the book of Revelation. I want to thank you for inviting me here to talk about planting a church in Penn Township. And I know that this is, you're going through the turmoil of looking for a senior pastor, and it may seem like this is horrible timing to look to us to help in planting this church in Penn Township. But often God does it that way so that it's a real miracle and praise. Did anyone not get, there's like a little card that everyone should, the usher, if you would just come down to the front here, and if anyone did not get one of these cards, raise your hand and this young gentleman would pass you one. It's good being here. When I came into the district, Reverend Bill Wood was my boss. So if you get upset at what I present to you, it's because he's the one who brought me here long ago, and I'm following in his footsteps. If you're upset with me as well for being here, you need to be upset at my boss, who happens to be Dr. Jeff Norris. You ever hear of him? Okay. So that's my boss now. I planted church in West Newton and Charleroi Vineyard area. When I pastored in West Newton, planted that church, I would sneak over to your church, which was over there for a couple of years, and attended your evening service. It was at 6 o'clock, and ours was at 7:30. So I would come here, I'd get my message, and head back to preach it at West Newton. If you get this card, you'll see there's two things on here. Your elders have unanimously given me permission to try to find three or four families in the church here to be part of the core group in the Penn Township church plant. Okay? So I'm looking for three or four families to be involved in something that is just so exciting that if you've never planted a church, you don't know what you're missing. It's exciting to be here. But church planting is exciting. It's what I've done, and Bill Wood put that. Bill Wood, how many churches did you help start? Ten. Pretty exciting, huh? Yeah. It's exciting. So three or four of you families are going to be so blessed to be part of this church plant. We're working with Greensburg, Murraysville, and this church. Normally we would come to one church and say, give us 10 families. And that would be pretty tough. But what we're trying to do is get three or four families from Greensburg there. The other churches are committed on. They're going to give financial support. And so the three mother churches is like a triangle around the Penn Township area are going to give three or four families, I pray. If three or four families don't sign up from here, then I come back with a stick next time. Okay. So I need three or four families that feel really led to be part of something new and special as a daughter church from this church. And if the Lord speaks to you and you're interested and you mark yes on that top of that box, that we'll meet again because you may have questions and answers and how does this work and how does this happen. So putting yes doesn't, you're not committing yourself, but you're saying, I am interested. I want to hear more. Okay. The second part of that box is for financial support. I picked that $20 figure. That's $5 a week. It's $20 a month if you would like to support the new work in Penn Township. I'm asking for a two-year commitment. I figure $5 a week won't hopefully break. You skip one McDonald's meal for the month, and you'll have the $20. Do not give. Don't take from what you're giving to the general fund, missions, building fund, to just redirect it to that. If you're going to give $20 a month, it must be up and beyond what you're already giving. Otherwise, do not give it. Okay? I don't want to hurt this church financially at all. So don't just reshuffle your money. If you feel you want to be part of this, and I believe God will really bless you, then go ahead and make a financial commitment for those 2 years. Okay? Your former pastor, Dr. Norris, is the one that really had the dream and the vision to plant a church in Penn Township. In fact, you were trying for years, I believe, to bring on a pastor here who would then become the church planting pastor there. So I'm just kind of following in that original vision that your church had. And so we have, miraculously, we believe God has brought us a gentleman. His name is Reverend Andrew Barrett. He's from Minnesota. He has been, he was going to plant a church in Minnesota. So we put, when men are going to plant churches, we put them through all kinds of tests and analysis. And he has tested out as a church planner. He has the greatest personality. He just is a people magnet. Loves the Lord, evangelistic. He's just a great man of God. He started dating 2 years ago a girl from Washington, PA, even though he's in Minnesota. It's been a long-distance email relationship that has grown through the years, and he has made the decision he wants to come to Western PA to be by her and to come plant a church out here. Minnesota District is sick that they're losing him because They could not speak highly enough about him that he is going to plant a church. Now, he was here your Thanksgiving service with Promise, and he couldn't be here this morning. We are flying him back a couple more times. But my wife and I made a homemade tape of him that we'll show you. It's only like a minute and a half to kind of introduce you to him so you at least know what his face looks like. And so we will roll that tape. This is at our house, so just... We only did one tape, and we said, we better not do this again. This was spur of the moment, so homemade movie. Andy Barrett, then 2 days ago, asked Rachel.
It is so good to be here this morning.
Here I am.
Nolan Alliance Church. And though we couldn't bring you Reverend Andy Barrett in person, we are bringing him via... tape. Andy, come and share a little bit with the Norman Alliance Church.
Well, good morning. Like Pastor Toomey said, my name is Andrew Barrett. I've served with the Christian Missionary Alliance for the past 3.5 years in St. Paul, Minnesota, where I grew up and spent all of my years there. I'm excited to bring you good news. I believe that God has called me to this area of Pennsylvania to plant the church. And I'm very excited to see where God is going to take this. I have graduated from Crown College about 3.5 years ago. And about two weeks to a month or so ago, I was just ordained with the Christian Missionary Alliance. So you can call me Reverend if you'd like, but Andy is good enough. I am excited to meet you, and I'm praying for what God has in store for us. So I would like to ask you as well to pray and seek God's will to join the district in this new journey. So I pray that you have a good morning, and I'll be praying for you. Thank you.
He's a great guy. I've been really impressed by him. And in all the boards and churches we've met have been very impressed. And Dr. Norris has already worked him over. I was going to tell you, 2 days ago, he asked Rachel from Washington, PA to be his wife. So they are officially engaged. I think they're looking June, July to tie the knot. We have been combing Penn Township for two things, for a place for him to live, which we have located. We located an apartment right in the center of Harrison City, right by the new grocery store complex there. And we've gotten about 25 places that maybe the church could meet at, from the Elks, the Lions, the Moose, the Bear, the Giraffe, Elephant, whatever, okay? Fire halls and restaurants and schools and you name it. We have this big list. There is also a church we're looking at that is for sale. It's over in the Trafford area. Pastor Bill Wood kind of let me in on it, and then we went by it. You've never been in it, but where's that organ player? You might want to come to this church plant. In the front of this church is one of these gigantic pipe organs. And I got to play it. It is unbelievable. They had it appraised. It's appraised at over $100,000. So the only thing is that you look forward and you have a mirror to look out at the people. Have you ever played that way? So anyway, I have no idea if that's where it will be. It may be in the basement of a... Who knows what? In church playing, you never know where where you're going to meet. At West Newton, we moved 5 times. In Shoroy, I moved 3 times. That's part of the excitement. It's just moving and where does the Lord lead you? And then eventually to buy land and to build a church. And that's all part of the excitement of being part of a church plant, okay? Just to tell you. So, I'm trying to think here. 4 families. You have about 300 people coming here, so I figure that's about 12, 13 people. Are you okay out of 300-400 coming here that you give 12? Norma's saying no.
We don't have that many coming here.
Oh, yeah, you do. When you get a new senior pastor, you will see how lots of new people will start coming and start coming in here. You have to believe that. And New Stanton had about 160 people. When they gave me 6-7 families, they had way less than you have to start West Newton. And West Newton is now 300-400 they're building on. And then they gave for Charleroi, and they're building on. New Stanton, as far as I'm concerned, New Stanton has 700 people attending their church. They're the third largest Alliance church because they stepped out to give some families. You're an Alliance church here that's responsible to reach a lot of people for Jesus Christ that are lost. And Penn Township, I don't know if you've driven through there. There's so many people living there. It's incredible. And at the rate we're going, they're all going to die without knowing Jesus at the rate we're winning the lost, just to be upfront with you. It so frustrates me that in Western Pennsylvania, hundreds of thousands of people are dying without Jesus while we're, you know, wondering about our little churches, okay? Let's go to Jude. The book of Jude. You'll note verse 23 says, snatch others from the fire and save them. And that's kind of my, I believe God is calling us to be firefighters. How many wanted to ever be a fireman when you were a kid for Christmas? You wanted a fire truck. No one wanted it. Any firemen here? No firemen. Any firewomen here? Well, I believe God's calling us to be firefighters. And it's very similar to fighting physical fires. I'm going to kind of use that as my analogy. It says, snatch others from the fire and save them. It sounds like we're fighting a fire. What does that mean, snatch others from the fire and save them? If you look at verse 7, that fire that it's talking about is the fire of hell. It says in verse 7, in a similar way, Sodom and Gomorrah and the surrounding towns gave themselves up to sexual immorality and perversion. They serve as an example of those who suffer the punishment of eternal fire. Then God says to us in verse 23, I want you to snatch others from the fire and save them. What do you mean? What does that mean? Are they in the fire of hell and we save them out of hell? I kind of like to picture it as pictures a 10-story apartment building, and it's on fire. It's the towering inferno. And it's burning up, and on the 10th floor, the balcony who need to be saved. Now, let me ask you a question. Are they in the fire? Are they in the fire? Would you say there's people in the fire? You kind of would say, yeah, they're in the fire, but they're on the balcony of the building's fire. If they're not rescued, then the fire is going to consume them and they're going to die. But hopefully a hook and ladder truck will come up and rescue those people before they die. But they're on the balcony. The fire is coming behind them and they need to be saved. I view that people in Penn Township and Norwin, North Huntington, are on the balcony of hell's fire. And that's why it says snatch them from the fire. They're on the balcony. Unless we reach them with the gospel, they are going to die and live without Christ. And they're going to be in hell. They're on the balcony of hell's fire unless we come to them with the gospel message and rescue them from that balcony of hell. And so church planting, to me, the driving core behind that church is to reach people for Jesus Christ. We're not just planting a church there just to gather lots of other Christians. We're planting a church there to be firefighters, to reach people for the Lord. I tell you, there's 4 characteristics I'm kind of looking for in the 3 or 4 families that feel this call to come. Number one is in verse 20. It says, "But you, dear friends, build yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." The first thing I'm looking for is people that are built up in the faith, in the holy faith. I'm looking for families that you're grounded in the Word of God. What do you do if you have weak faith? How do you build up your faith? Does anyone know? Faith comes from hearing, and hearing from what? The Word of God. Okay, so when your faith is weak and all, you get in the Word. This is all firemen have training. This is our training manual. This is how we learn how to fight fires. This is how we learn how to share Jesus with other people. This is what was written to us, how we can live the Christian walk and how we can share the exciting news of Jesus with other people. So this is our training manual. I'm looking for three families that love the Word of God, that are in the Word, that are built up in the Word of God. Come to Proverbs chapter 19, because I want to share something with you. This is kind of my second thing I'm looking for. Proverbs 19, verse 2. "It is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way." I'm looking for people who have two things. You have knowledge of the Word, but you have zeal. Now, it's not good to have zeal without knowledge. Nor is it good, in my opinion, to have knowledge without zeal. You need both. Turn to Romans chapter 12 for a moment. Romans chapter 12. Starting in verse 9 of Romans 12, verse 9. You're not losing Jude, I hope, right? You got your ribbon? They give you those Bible ribbons. Romans chapter 12, verse 9. "Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in what?"
Zeal.
That's what God says to all of us. We should never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So let me go back to my fireman illustration. Suppose there's a house on fire, there's a baby inside the house, and the house is going up in flames. The firemen pull up, and there's some older, seasoned firemen, and there's some brand new firemen that are so excited that they're firefighters. And the house is on fire. Who do you think is the most likely to charge into that fire to try to save that baby? The older, seasoned firemen who have had lots of training, or the young guys that just are starting out and they're really gung-ho for firefighting? Who do you think will run into that house? The young ones. Because they're, I was going to say dumb, but, or, you know, they're crazy, or, you know, they've got the zeal. They're going, "I'll go save that baby. This is what I've been waiting for," and shoot, in they go. But because they haven't had a lot of training and they're not grounded with knowledge, they forgot that they need to wear a mask with oxygen. So now the seasoned firemen have to go in and save them, okay? Now, and hopefully they've got the zeal to say, we've got training, we've got equipment, let's go do it. Now, here's the danger. You want the zeal, but you need the knowledge. And so I'm looking for Christians that you love the Word, you're grounded in the Bible, but you're also excited about the Lord. It's not just all head knowledge for you. And that's where it all just stays. But you're also excited about Jesus, and you're excited about a new church and to share Jesus. And there's a spiritual fervor. There's a zeal that you have for Jesus. OK, so if you're kind of just a dead lump and you're no longer excited for Jesus and salvation and winning the lost, church planting is not for you. OK, now hopefully that didn't eliminate anyone, but. Because I still need three or four families. I think I scared the people off in the first service. So I need one family from each section. You can't leave, okay? All right, the third thing I'm looking for. So I'm looking for people who love the Word, have faith. This is the week of faith. Second, you've got zeal. You're excited about God. You haven't lost that. And third, The second part of verse 20 says, and pray in the Holy Spirit. I'm looking for people who will pray to be part of this church plant. Because I don't believe the church will grow. We're going to attack Satan's territory, and we're not going to do anything without prayer warriors. And that beginning group, maybe you never went to prayer meeting on Wednesday night, or that never was a priority, but I need you, if you're going to be part of this church plant, for surely the beginning couple of years, you've got to come and you need to pray, or the church will never grow. What prayer is to a church growing is what water is to firemen in fighting a fire. So everyone, that's just how important it is. What water is to fighting fires is prayer to a church growing. Can you imagine firemen without water trying to fight a fire? How would firemen, let's say firemen pull up to a house that's on fire and there's no water. How would you fight that fire? What would you do?
You'd be watching it.
No, maybe you could take a shovel, get some marshmallows. Hey, you know. I guess they would try. I always say, you know how they drop these firemen in these forest fires? And they give them shovels. Do you ever see that? I'm like, boy, that's crazy. You know, trying to put out this huge forest fire with shovels because they don't have any water. It's like working in the flesh. To me, it's like impossible. Well, that's what it's like to grow a church without prayer. And this is my one convicting thing to you. You're looking for a senior pastor. I know that. And so I would think your senior pastor that you want here, you want the right person. Because he's going to be your shepherd, your leader. He's going to feed you spiritually. It's going to be like a marriage. Would you just marry anyone after you met him for a day or two or a week? No. This is such an important decision this church is going to make. So I would think, because this is so vital to you, to the health of your spiritual life, to your kids, to the lost people, I would think that surely during this time that you do not have a senior pastor, prayer meeting is this full. Okay? Maybe you don't go to prayer meeting normally, and maybe you won't go to prayer meeting in the future. But I would think right now, you really should be praying that God brings you the right person so that you just don't wind up with anyone. And then go, oh, what happened? Why? So I would just think you'd all be here. God, we need the right man of God here. We are serious. We need to. I never have prayed before, and I'm not going to pray out loud. But I'm going to be here to pray for this pastor. It's just so important. So I'm looking. People love the word. People who are excited about Jesus. People who are willing to pray. And then the final thing, the fourth thing, I'm looking for people filled with the Spirit. If you look at, actually, it doesn't directly say it here. It's implied. Let me tell you the thing that all firemen dread. And I'll tell you this story. There was this young lad, he's 16 years old, and he wanted to be a firefighter. So he goes down to the fire department, wants to join. They say, you can't, you're too young. You can be a junior fireman, and you can help out around the fire station. So as soon as the fire whistle would go off that summer, that young lad, 16, he was down there. He first went at the fire hall, had the doors open, the fire trucks turned on, the boots out, a map where the fire was located. I mean, he had everything set, so the firemen came. They were so impressed. Fire after fire. That young guy's first one there. And by the way, that summer there was a rash of fires. There was Smith's Field was on fire. You know, Maple's barn was on fire, a garbage can on fire behind the block. And guess what they discovered after a summer of all these little rash fires? And this young man was the first one at the fire hall, fire station. He was setting the fires himself, okay? I call that it's the fear of all firemen. It's called the arson, the fire arson. I have this saying, are you a church arson? Are you a church arson? A church arson is anybody who goes to a church that isn't filled with the Spirit. And now I will show you that. That's why I'm looking for people filled with the Spirit. If you look at Jude, again, verse 16. These are people that are in the church. Verse 16. These men are, what are they? Grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own what? Evil desires, okay? Because they don't have the Spirit, they follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves. They're always talking about themselves, you know, hey, look at me. They flatter others for their own advantage. So if they tell you how wonderful you are, it's because they want something. Okay? Verse 17, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their what? Own ungodly desires. These are the men who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have what? The Spirit. I'm looking for people in the church plant that have the Spirit. Because if you don't have the Spirit, you're a church arson. And here's the characteristics you will manifest. Because you're not walking in the Spirit, living by the Spirit, you will be a grumbler. You'll be a fault finder. You will be divisive in the church. You will follow your mere natural instincts, which we have a sinful nature, and that's what will come out. You'll start little fires. You'll cause problems. Oh, you're always finding fault. This ministry, look at the pastor, how he's dressed. Look at that Toomey, how he's carrying on. What kind of church is this? And oh, things are, you know, fault, grumbling, you know, divisive. Hook and Ladder Fire Department number 25 in New York City went out on a fire call. And as they go out to fight a fire, one of their own firemen set on fire their fire company. So the fire company had to come back to put out the fire back at their fire hall. And so they couldn't do what they were really meant to do because they were so busy putting out the fire in their own fire hall. What happens with church arsons is that there's people in the church who want to grow, who want to reach out, who understand that the reason we're here, this isn't our heaven. We're citizens of heaven, but this isn't. We're here to make disciples. We're here to win the lost. I don't know how long you're planning to live, but we only have so long to live before we're out of here. Or maybe before Jesus comes back. Pastor Doug was praying. I can't pick on you. He's praying in the early service, Jesus, come back soon. Come back soon. And I'm with you. But I'm also sick because I'm thinking, look at all the lost people that aren't going. You know, our family members and neighbors. So there's a group of people in the church and the pastor, he says, we got to go win the lost. We got to get out there. And so they begin to go out there. Meanwhile, the church arsons are back causing trouble. And with their tongue, it's like fire. And they're burning down the church. And so the pastor and the people who want to reach out, they have to come back and concentrate on the home church and stomping out and taking care of all kinds of problems. And Satan loves it. Because you're so busy trying to take care of the internal problems that you forget what your calling, your mission is to reach out. So let me go back. Four things. You love the Word. You're on fire for Jesus. You love Jesus. You pray. You believe God can answer prayer. And number four, you're filled with the Spirit. You're not a church arson. You're not just following your own desires and in the flesh. You love the Lord. Two sad sights, or two interesting sights. One interesting sight is a church or a fire department that doesn't fight fires anymore. I was reading about one, I guess a lot of fire departments do this. Someone's house is on fire. Now, this fire department has all the latest equipment, and they have the fire hall and bingo and dinners and all that kind of stuff, okay? But this house is on fire, and they go check the list to see if those people gave to the fire department. So they look, Toomey didn't give. We're probably not going to make it there on time, and let's be a little bit slower. We're going to get lost, and, you know, I think that's sad when a fire department doesn't fight fires. And I think it's a sad state when a church has lost what it's all about to win the lost. Second sad sight to me is I drive through old towns in Pennsylvania, and when you see an old dilapidated fire department, you go into this town and here's this old fire station. It's got maybe one door, and you can look in there and you see this old antique, shiny, polished fire truck inside. You know, they pull it out for parades once a year. All it's good for is false alarms, as I call it. And on the bench will be, there's a bench outside the fire hall, and there will be two old timers talking. And they'll be talking to each other, and you can just kind of picture what they're talking about. They're going, oh, you remember the old days when we used to fight fires? And remember when, oh, there was 30 people in the volunteer fire department, and now we're down to 3. And do you remember how exciting it was? And all they can discuss is what happened in the past. The fire department is no longer in action. And all I can tell you is for every one fire department in a town, there's 7 churches just like that, that are just small, and they talk about the days of old. But, you know, God's moving today, and God's going to move tomorrow. And I'm hoping 3 or 4 of you families will see. It's so miraculous to see how God will build this church. It's exciting. It's like you 3 or 4 families, you'll be right. You'll be like the cabinet members for the pastor. You become foundational members. You have to be a jack of all trades. You have to be willing to clean the toilet for a change and do visitation, open up your home, teach Sunday school, work with the kids, be in nursery. You know, in a church this size, probably each of you has like one responsibility. But in church planning, you might have to have 10 different jobs. Okay? You have to do it all. You just you need to be faithful. If you're come every other week because you stubbed your toe or you slept in, you got to come. You got to be part. You got to be faithful to this church plan. I'm excited. I've done it. It's exciting. So I'm going to close here. But I want you to pray if you're interested in being. And the elders, I don't want you to feel bad. The elders have given me permission to take 3 or 4 families from here. I believe God will bless this church. And God will bless that church in Penn Township. I think that church is going to take off. And it will be credited back to you. And I want you to pray about if you would like to support this church plant. So before I close in prayer, does anyone have a quick question that might be on your mind? That scared everyone off, huh? I did have one thought. Often I get this question, well, what's that church plant going to have for my kids? A lot of people come to church now and they're like, what are you going to do for me? What do you have for me? What do you have for my kids? What do you have for my teenager? What do you have for my wife? In church planting, it's not what can you do for me? It's what can I do for others? And even the teens that come in church planting, they have to have, I'm going to start a youth group. I'm going to start reaching out. I'm going to start minister and put stuff together. It's a different frame of reference, but I think it's a very positive experience for kids and teenagers that are in a church plant, because often they get to see firsthand for themselves the miracles God does in growing a church. And so the kids see, they don't just hear you talk about it, something in the past. The kids get to see for themselves how God works. It's a different feel, but they're living it.
A question that might run through people's minds. If I leave this church and go do that, I'll be giving up this responsibility and that responsibility I have at church. Well, I'll be letting this church down. You know, someone's going to have to fill those positions.
Okay, does everyone hear a question? If she leaves and she leaves her responsibilities here, is she going to be letting this church down because she's leaving a hole or a gap? The elders have given permission for you to leave. My guess is everyone here doing a ministry, or do some of you kind of just sitting back and saying, well, I wish I could do something. I hope to do something someday. And that's my guess is in any church, probably only 20 or 30% of the people are involved in ministry. So people are going to have to step into your role. And they will. So what role do you have?
Teach two classes.
All right. Someone will step into that. So, any other questions? All right. Well, let's look to the Lord. Father, I know this is a stretch. And it's a stretch for the mother church, and it can be scary maybe for those 3 or 4 families to step out. But what do we have to lose? And we have so much to gain. And I believe there's going to be a great church work there. And Lord, you call those special people that are kind of willing to step out in faith to to see you do a miracle of the birth of a new church, a new Alliance Church. And I pray you would bless the Norwin Alliance Church, Lord. As those families go, I pray you would increase this church. You'd bring them the right senior pastor, that this church would pack out all the services. They won't know what to do with all the people. And those three, four families that go, they'll just be blessed. And I pray there'd be a close relationship between mom and daughter. And Spirit, just move upon the people in this church in a very special way. May this church be an exciting place to be, and a place that people meet the Lord and people grow in the Lord and people worship the Lord and are discipled. And have your hand of blessing here. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.